going to talk today about because he lives, I can face, I want to call it anything, okay? Because he lives, I can face anything. Everybody shout anything. Good to see Cole and Crystal this morning. God bless you guys. We can face anything that life throws our way. You know, I can face tomorrow. I can face what the doctor told me. I can face what the x-ray said. I can face all my fears. I can face any illness or sickness. I can face any adversity that's planned to come my way this next week, because I know he lives, and because he lives in me, I'm going to live through anything that comes my way. Say it with me. Because he lives, I can face anything. Now, do you know that the empty tomb that everybody, that thousands and thousands of tourists go and visit every year, it's the only attraction where people line up to see nothing. They line up to see they line up to see an empty tomb. How many knows he's not there? He's not mummified. He's not wrapped up. He's not in a casket. He's not in some kind of a catacomb. He's not there, because we're not serving a dead Savior. He's living. He's a resurrected. And he's not just living in heaven. He's living in our hearts. And so, thank God, you know, we've said this before, and I want to remind you that all of human history, how many knows that it's divided into B.C. and A.D., right? All of human history, because of this day, no person on the face of the earth has ever changed the dating system. And I don't care if you're an unbeliever, if you don't believe in Jesus, you don't believe in the Bible, you don't believe in God, every time you sign a check and every time you date a contract, you are admitting that 2,024 years ago, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He's the only one that could bend the date time of the universe. Thank God he rose from the dead and he's alive today. Amen? I said he's alive today. Now, I have to change something here. Because I've got another thought here I want to bring to you. Study after study has proven that Christianity and church attendance is dropping. We hear different reports, you know, Pew Research, Barna Research, and all those Gallup different polls. We're finding out that church attendance is declining. Religiosity, I don't like that word, but really, religiosity is in a horrible decline. Church attendance is in a decline. And what's interesting is, even though church attendance is in decline, how many knows depression is rising? How many knows Prozac is rising? Suicide is rising. Fear is rising. So many people today seeking therapy in the midst of knowing that we have a Savior that's going to help us through anything that comes our way. And so we see all this, we see this thing declining, but we see the fear of man increasing more and more. And I want to tell you something. I don't know how many remembers this song, but and you're going to date yourself if you do, but looking for love in all the wrong places. You remember that? What's that song? Well, that's not just a song, folks. That's what people are doing today. We're looking for love in all the wrong places. We're looking for acceptance in all the wrong places. We're looking for approval from all the wrong places. If just my boss would notice me, he might give me a raise. Or if somebody would show me a little appreciation. If somebody would just recognize how good I've done. Listen, I want to tell you something. We've got to go back. We as believers have got to go back to the very first commandment that God gave to Moses, and here's what it was. I am the Lord thy God. Do not have any strange gods before me. We're asking, why is the world such a mess? Why is everything so upside down? Why is everything falling apart? And the very first commandment says, don't have any other gods before me. You see, what's happened is we have forgotten God. I said, we have forgotten God. We have forgotten who God is. We have forgotten what God has done. And because we have forgotten God, how many of those things falling apart? If you were here Wednesday night, I would encourage, if you weren't here Wednesday night, I would encourage you, go home and YouTube a search on Jonathan Cahn, C-A-H-N, and put in there A-C-T-S, Acts. And watch that video that we showed here Wednesday night, because he's going to tell us and he's explained to us how in the world why this world is falling apart. because we've kicked God out of society. We've kicked him out of our culture. And any culture that kicks God out is going to head to doom. Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. That's Jonathan Kahn and Acts. Look it up and you will be blessed by that. But we're looking for God in all the wrong places. We're looking for thrills in all the wrong places. We're looking for fulfillment in all of the wrong places. Somebody said, well, you know, I work very hard. I'm proud of who I am. I'm a self-made man. I've risen to the other side of the tracks. I'm now on the east side. I'm living up on the east side. Excuse me. I don't need help because I can do it all by myself. And that's the problem with humanity. We don't need God. We can do it ourselves. I can make a ton of money without God. I can take care of my body and be healthy without God. I can have peace without God. Listen, that's the problem with our culture in America. I'm not speaking for the other nations, but our culture is very evident that we're putting God on the back shelf. We can't do it by ourselves. I said, we can't do it by ourselves. In fact, if you'll stop and think about it for just a minute, we're all in a 12-step program. Tracy here this morning? Where's Tracy? We're all, you're back there. We're all in a 12-step program. Amen. You know what the first step is? We've got to admit we need help. That's the first step. We have to admit I can't do it by myself. What happens when we do it by ourselves? It ends up becoming chaos. It becomes a mess. Amen. Listen, God is in charge. And like it or not, you can't take your next breath without him. You can't take your next step without him. You won't get a good night's sleep without him. The problem is sometimes we think it all depends on us. I, and we have become our own gods. And no wonder the world is depressed. No wonder society is a mess. No wonder the psychic couches the psychiatrist couches are full every day of the week because people are trying to find help in all the wrong places, looking for love in all the wrong places. We've got to return to God. Man, we're a pill popping generation. We're a drug place. Man, listen, folks, listen. It's all because he is no longer our Lord and God. But that's about to change for some people today. Did you hear me? That's about to change for some people today. There's going to be some people come to Jesus. So where is Jesus today? You say, I've got to find him. Where is Jesus? Well, I'll tell you where he is not. He's not in the tomb. He is not in Jerusalem. Amen? How many knows when Mary needed him? When Mary needed him, listen to what he said. He said, you don't have to go through life being afraid of anymore. Remember, Mary had all those demons cast out of her, and she was so full of fear and darkness and evilness, and Jesus delivered her, and now you don't have to be afraid anymore. You know what he said to Peter? I like this. Hey, buddy, you don't have to go through feeling ashamed and guilty anymore. I'll give you the scripture in just a moment. You know what he said to Thomas? Hey, Tommy, you don't have to be afraid anymore. You don't have to stay curled up in a fetal position with a pacifier in your mouth. I've come that you might have life more abundantly, and because I live, you don't have to doubt anymore. Everybody needs hope. Everybody needs hope. You know what? Those people that don't even want to go to church on Easter, they still need hope. We all need help. Do you know the first Easter wasn't, Jesus didn't come to the first Easter service to a bunch of well-dressed, dignified, successful people. You know who he came to? You know who he showed himself to? Those disciples that were in fear and trembling, didn't know what to do, didn't know what to do next, didn't know where to go. They were a confused bunch of guys. That's who Jesus appeared to on Easter, and that's who he came for, a bunch of confused people. And he's still here, helping our confused minds. Amen. We've all heard somebody say at one time or another, well, I'm at the end of my rope. Or they're at the end. Maybe you haven't said it, but you've heard other people. They're at the end of their rope. You know what that means? That means they have no more endurance. They have no more patience. They have no more strength. They have no more energy. I'm at the end of my rope. I don't know what to do. I'm at the end. It also means we have no more hope. I'm at the end of my rope. I have no hope. Sounds pretty good, don't it? What do we mean when we say we've reached the end of our rope or our hope? What is hope anyway? Well, I hope the Cardinals win more games this year than they did last year. I really hope the teacher doesn't give us any homework assignments this week. I really hope I get a raise this year. That's not the kind of hope I'm talking about. I'm talking about a living hope in a person. Can I hear an amen today? How many believes that Jesus can give us hope? We can have hope for a better future. There is such a thing as real hope. And I'd appreciate it if somebody helped me preach this morning and say amen once in a while. Jesus says, I've come to give you hope. Hope for the future. Hope for tomorrow. Hope for your situation. Amen. Peter calls him a living hope. A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So there is such a thing as real hope, because real hope is found in a real person. It's not a thing. Hope is a person. Somebody shout amen. Because he lives, I have hope. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, I don't fall apart when the doctor says, you have this illness. When the doctor told my wife, you have cancer, her response was, I believe all is well. I believe all is well. I was with her. I was right there through the test. I was right there when they brought the results of the test. She didn't cry and fall apart. She didn't fall to the floor and say, what am I going to do? She said, I believe all is well. And she didn't stutter. Number two, hope is a gift from God. It's a source of strength. It's a source of courage in the face of our harshest, most troublesome trials we may ever feel. And I know sometimes, and we've all felt this way, we've all felt like we were trapped, maybe in a tunnel of misery, or trapped in a cage of fear. We've all felt that. Rick, I know what you're saying, brother. Man, when you got that report, Rob, when you got that report, Avery, good morning to you, Avery, and your beautiful bride. You guys got that report, and I've talked to some other people recently that just got the report. They just found out. But you know what? Instead of falling apart, we need to fall on our face to Jesus. Amen. And I so appreciate these two men, man. They turned it over to God. They didn't fall apart. They turned it over to God. And they went through, they got treatment, but now they're made whole, and now the doctors come back and said something else about Rick, but Rick, all is well. We didn't believe the first report, we're not going to believe the second report. It may be there, but God says, I'll take care of it. Have no fear, Rick, have no fear. Amen. So, whether you're struggling with a crippling disease or a lingering illness, I believe that hope in Jesus will preserve our lives. Amen. When you find yourself unemployed, just remember, there's hope in Jesus. Amen. When you see Missy walk off the stage and she looks weak and like she's about to fall over, I want to remind all of you, she has hope in Christ. You hear me? She has hope. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for Missy this morning. We know that her hope is in you. We know that her strength is in you. We know that her healing is in you. And God, she does not waver. She's strong in the faith. God, her mouth declares that she is the healed. Her tongue declares she is the righteousness of God and healed by the stripes of Jesus. And Father, we just thank you for the hope, the true hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said amen. When you feel rejected, when you feel abandoned, there is a hope that you can have in Christ Jesus, that I am not alone. My wife woke up one morning and everything was taken away from her. The house that she had lived in, the touring bus that they owned, everything was taken from her. She woke up without a job and three children to take care of. But you know what? She didn't give up. She didn't quit. And that's why I love to hear that testimony every year. You may get tired of it, but it brings me to tears every time I hear that testimony of what God did for her on that Easter Sunday morning. Raised her. Thank you. Raised her up. Pointed her to Farmington and married the greatest guy in the world, and life has never been the same. When you feel abandoned, you feel rejected, listen, I believe that we're going to make it. I believe you're going to make it. Does life ever hurt? Of course life hurts. Has Darlene and I ever been faced with a situation we need hope? Why, yeah, there's times that we wonder, God, when's the dream that you gave us coming to pass? And I heard people say, well, I'm living the dream. I'm living the dream. How you doing? Well, I'm living the dream. Well, I haven't arrived to the dream yet, but I'm enjoying the journey. I haven't seen everything that God promised come to pass, but I'm enjoying the journey. And I'll be hanged if I'm going to get discouraged on the journey to the victory that God's got planned for me, to the dream that God's got planned for me, to the things that God has planned for this ministry. We've said for years, we will have a mortgage burning service at Solid Rock. Bonnie, where are you at back there? Bonnie, how many years? We've said that for a lot of years. Can you shout amen a little louder? That's about as loud as she can get right now. But we've been saying that for years and years and years. And you know, we're almost there. We're almost there. We may see it this year. And if not this year, we will see it next year. So you better bring your shouting shoes, because we're going to have a big old something up here to burn that mortgage with. Or at least a copy of the mortgage, right? So God is faithful. God is good. We've been paying on this place for 40 years. It's about time it get paid for, right? Glory to God. Okay. You know, without hope, if you don't have hope, man, it's something how marriage partners will turn to divorce. Because they feel like, I have no hope. I have no hope with my husband. And I've seen a few suicide notes. But you know, how many times do you see no hope in a suicide note? It's all gone. It's all over with. Well, this is Sunday morning. I guess we ought to read the Bible. So go with me to the book of Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 54. I am reading from the NLT, which is my favorite version right now. I don't use it for doctrine or theology, but I do use it for explaining in down-to-earth terms. So I'm looking for Luke 22, verse 54 through 62. When you're ready, shout amen. If you're still looking, say, oh, help me. If you haven't found it now, there will be no hope. Look behind me. So they arrested him and led him to the high priest's home, and Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter joined them there. That's his first mistake. He joined the wrong crowd. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, "This man was one of Jesus' followers." But Peter denied it. "Woman, I don't even know him." After a while, someone else looked at him and said, "You must be one of them." "No, man, I'm not," Peter retorted. About an hour later, someone else insisted, "This must be one of them, because he's a Galilean also." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will have denied me three times, denied that you even know me." And Peter left the courtyard weeping bitterly. Do you know that his commitment that I'll never leave you or forsake you, Lord, I'll go to jail for you, whatever it takes, how many knows his commitment was tested? I said his commitment was put to the test. You see, this man, Peter was a stubborn guy. Peter was a determined follower of Christ. I mean, he didn't know any bounds. He was willing to cut off the ear of the guy that was coming to arrest Jesus. I mean, this guy was one committed dude. But Jesus reminded him that Satan is after you. Satan wants to sift you as fine wheat. Remember that? Say it like this. Satan has been working overtime to get you. And there's some of you in this house today that you're feeling things that you haven't felt in a long time. You're feeling attacks like you haven't felt in a long time. And you got to be reminded that the devil's working overtime to trip you up. But remember this. Jesus says, "I have prayed for you." Jesus intercedes for us. Luke 22, 31 through 34. "Simon, stay on your toes." This is from the Message Bible. "Satan has tried his best to separate all of you from me, like chaff from wheat. Simon, I've prayed for you in particular that you not give in or give out. When you've come through the time of testing, turn to your companions and give them a fresh start." Peter said, "Master, I'm ready to do anything with you. I'd go to jail for you. I'd die for you." And I can just hear Jesus saying, yeah, I'm not buying that story. Jesus said, "I'm sorry to have to tell you this, Peter, but before the rooster crows, you will have three times denied that you even know me." And how many knows that very night, the words of Jesus turned into reality. Peter failed the Lord. Now, don't look so righteous. Don't look so spiritual, because every one of us have failed the Lord at one time or another. We don't plan it. We don't put it on our calendars. We don't put it in our date book. We don't think, well, I think I'll fail the Lord this Monday afternoon. No, but we've all failed God, haven't we? We've all failed him. But Peter deliberately opened his mouth and denied that he knew the Christ, and he was not one of the 12. Not one time, not two times, but three times. And Gabe, they were all three back to back. One, two, three, just like that. He denied the Lord. Now Peter's no longer strong. Peter's no longer loyal. Now Peter becomes weak. Peter now he went from being courageous and committed to being weak. He sobs. He cries. He's full of guilt. He's full of shame. And he plunges to rock bottom, and he's caught in the grip of hopelessness. Some of you may be there right now. You feel like it's a hopeless situation. I'll never overcome this battle in my mind. I'll never overcome these lustful thoughts. I'll never be able to overcome pornography. I'll never be able to overcome lying. I'll never be able to overcome my attitude. I'll never be able to overcome this, that, or the other. Listen, folks, listen to me. God gave Peter a chance, and he wants to give you another opportunity as well. Come on, say amen. Amen. Peter had hope beyond what he ever thought he'd have. He thought his hope was gone forever. But do you remember that first Easter Sunday morning? Everybody shout Easter Sunday. Do you remember that first Easter Sunday? We read that Jesus had been resurrected from the grave, from the dead. We hear this great words of grace. Go tell my disciples and what? And Peter. Go tell my disciples and Peter that I'm alive. In other words, Peter didn't feel like he deserved to be called a disciple anymore. He failed God. He's full of shame, full of guilt. But Jesus spoke it out in out loud language. Go tell my disciples and Peter. And you know that old fisherman's life was turned around at that very moment once again. And thank God he needed to recover from failure. And he did recover from failure. He got hope from failure. And in fact, Peter would go on and be the one that started the very first New Testament church in Jerusalem. And he was the pastor of that church. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. My 20 minutes is gone, so I have about less than 20 more. I'm going to make it. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. 1 Peter 1 and 18. Your life is a journey. You must travel with a deep consciousness of God. It costs God plenty to get you out of that dead-end, empty-headed life you grew up in. Oh, I like that, don't you? It costs God plenty to get you out of that dead-end, empty-headed life you grew up in. He paid with Christ's sacred blood. He died like an unblemished sacrificial lamb. And this was no afterthought. Even though it had only happened lately, at the end of the ages became public knowledge. God always knew what he was going to do, and he was going to do this for you. It's because of this sacrificed Messiah, whom God then raised from the dead and glorified, that you trust God and that you know you have a future in God. I love that. You got a future in God. I don't know if that does anything for you or not, but that sure blesses me. Every once in a while, I said a while ago that Darlene and I, sometimes we may find our place in a position where we have no hope, things are falling apart, and it has happened over the years. But you know, you press on. You don't quit. Amen? You press on. I don't say this braggingly, and I'm certainly probably a glutton for punishment, but I'm the only pastor in this area that I know of that has pastored the same church for 48 years. I know I'm the only one in Pentecostal Church of God, Southern Missouri, 48 years. And you know, there's been many, many times that we wanted to quit. I won't go into all the reasons why, but you know what we did? We had to stay focused. You've got to stay focused. You see, you know, there was a word for somebody a while ago that you're about to make a decision that may cost you your walk, not your walk with God, but maybe your spiritual maturity or something. But how many knows it's important to stay focused? It's important to keep your eyes on the Word of God. It's important to listen to God. Amen? And we need that hope that, you know what, I will see my dreams fulfilled. I will see this church paid off. I will see. The devil's not going to snatch my life before I see this church paid off. And Bonnie, I heard there was a word went out over you that said you're going to live until you see the church paid off. That don't mean you have to kick the bucket afterwards, but you're going to see it happen, okay? Everybody say this with me. I have hope beyond failure. I have hope beyond guilt. Say it out loud. I have hope beyond suffering. I have hope beyond division. I have hope beyond bitterness. I have hope beyond misery. I can go on if you want me to. 1 Peter 1, chapter 3, verses 3 through 5 in the Message Bible. What a God we have. How fortunate we are to have him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life, a living hope, and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. Hey, I'm not living just to go to heaven. I'm not living for God just to get a change of address. I am living for God because, man, I'm enjoying life today. And if you're not enjoying life today, you're not living life to the fullest. I don't mean that everything's going just real smooth for you, but you know that everything's going to be all right. Listen, you're missing the mark. I've got a brand new, I do have a future in heaven. But I thank God today I've got life. Today I've got life. The day is coming when you'll have it all. Life healed and whole. Look at John chapter 20. Verses 1 and 2. Early in the morning on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone was moved away from the entrance. She ran at once to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, speaking of John, breathlessly panting. They took the master from the tomb. We don't know where they have put him. And then chapter 20, verse 11. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. Listen. Mary thought all hope was gone. She could do nothing but cry. She could do nothing but fall apart. Now, at one time, her life was full of despair. At one time, her life was full of darkness and full of evil. But now listen, Jesus came and delivered her and set her free just a few years before that, 2 or 3 years before that. And she was a victim of this demonic activity that was reigning in her life. And her future was bleak. But Jesus came to give her hope. Jesus changed her life. And when she stood in front that day and said, I don't know where he at, somebody's taking him away. I want to tell you something. Jesus still had given Mary a future and given her a hope. And now all of a sudden she's grieved and despair. And we change so quickly, don't we? And the reason we change so quickly is because we've left the word. We've left the promise. We left the prophecy. We left what Jesus told us 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 6 months ago. We forgot what the Lord has said. And now we're living in grief and sorrow. But listen, I got a feeling if you just hang on, everything's going to turn out okay. Amen. Mark 16 and 6. He said unto them, be not afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. This is the place where they laid him, but he's not here. Looking for Jesus in all the wrong places. Looking for love in all the wrong places. I wonder if there's people here today that's trying to find peace in life, trying to find joy, trying to find fulfillment, trying to find something that you don't have, and you're looking in the wrong places. He's not here. He is risen. This is where they laid him, but he's not here. They're looking in the wrong places. Where are you looking today? What are you looking for? What is it that you're lacking in your life that you're looking for something else besides Jesus to fulfill? He's the only way. He's the only way. He's the truth. He's the life. You won't find it. I was thinking on the way to church this morning about my neighbor. And I want to approach my neighbor sometime and just ask him, what do you think happens when you die? Because, you know, people that don't believe in the Bible, people that don't believe in God, people that have no spiritual life at all, you wonder, what do they think happens when you die? You think you just going to the grave and that's the end of the story? Or do you think, well, maybe I am a three-part human being. Maybe I am a spirit. I have a soul and I do live in a body. If I do, how do you separate the three? Where are they going when I die? Well, I've done a few funerals this last couple of weeks. I got another one this next week. And you know what? That body goes into the six-foot grave. That body goes there. But I'm going to tell you something. Those that know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. How do you tell somebody that doesn't believe, somebody that doesn't understand or even care to know the Bible? How do you tell them that Jesus said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, even though you die, you still live. Even though we go into the grave, we're still alive. Amen? We're still alive. Her focus was on an empty tomb. Her focus was on a missing body. Three of the greatest words that you'll ever hear is, he is risen. He is risen. And there's something about that Friday. Friday was one of the greatest days of the year, but how many know Sunday was the greatest day of the year? How many knows he had to die before he could be raised from the dead? He had to give up his life. I'm going to tell you something. Those Romans think they took his life. They're the instrument that was used to beat him and to crucify him, but he gave up his life. Nobody takes the life of Jesus. He gave it up. For you and you and you. He gave it all up just for you. He is risen. And that's what marks Christianity as the greatest of all faiths, because we are serving a risen Savior. He was, he is, and he will forever be. Amen. I close with this scripture. Would you stand to your feet as we read this scripture? As I read this scripture, I want you to examine your heart as the worship team comes forward. I want you to examine your life and ask yourself, am I right with God today? Have I been looking in all the wrong places for peace? Am I looking for, if I just had a new house, or if I just had a new car, if I just had a new wife, honey, it don't work that way. Hello? If I just could go on vacation. You know, every time you go on vacation, how many knows you come back home, right? You might leave the mess for a while, but you're coming back home to the mess. Looking for love, looking for God in all the wrong places. Where was it in the Bible? They said, I think it was David said, if I go to the mountains and if I go to the valley, God's everywhere. He's everywhere I go. But we got people that are looking for God in fleshly things, in soulish things, and in emotional things. Now listen to this. I want you to examine your life while I'm reading this verse. Listen closely. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you still saying there is no resurrection? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. And your Sunday morning attendance is useless. And your tithing is useless. And you're coming to Wednesday night, it's useless. If Jesus Christ is not, this is the foundation of our faith. This is why we do what we do. If not, we're no different than any other religion of the world. If Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. And we apostles would all be lying about God. For we have said that God raised Christ from the grave, but that can't be true if there's no resurrection of the dead. This is a great scripture to use at a graveside service. And I've used it many a times. That person that we are putting in the grave, that body, that building, that envelope that we're putting in the grave is going to rise again. If there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. Doesn't that just blow your mind? It all hinges on Christ being raised from the dead. If he wasn't raised from the dead, you can forget about going to heaven because you won't be raised either, right? And if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless, and you are still guilty of all your sins. In that case, all of those who died believing in Christ are lost. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are to be more pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. I love that. In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. It's a fact. It's a fact. He is the first of a great harvest of all those who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. That ought to make you a little excited this morning. But there is an order to this resurrection. Christ was raised as the first of the harvest. Then all we who belong to Christ will be raised when He comes back. Ladies and gentlemen, He was the first fruit, but you're the second fruit, and the third fruit, and the fourth fruit. He was the firstborn, but we're one of many born of the Lord. And because He arose, we have so much more to look forward to than just the few years we have left on this earth. I'm 74 years old. I expect I'll live probably I don't want to put a date on it, but I'm going to live a long time. But when my time comes and they put me in the ground, don't feel sorry for me. I don't want any tears around. Gary told me the other day, he said, Darryl, you're going to do my funeral. And he said, I don't want any tears. I don't want any sad songs. I want a church service because I'm not there anyway. I'm in heaven. Why cry if I'm in heaven? So, because He rose, you see, the whole Easter message is He is risen. You say, Pastor, I come to church every Easter and I hear the same message. Yes, because that's the foundation of everything we do in life. If He's not risen, we're of all men most miserable. This morning, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you don't have that promise of being raised from the grave to spend eternity with the Lord in heaven. In fact, the Bible says that those who die outside of Christ that don't know Him will suffer eternal punishment. You think this world is hell? This world is the only heaven that some people's going to know. But to us that are believers, this world will be the only hell we know, because we're going to heaven, amen? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask you a question this morning. Are you ready to meet the Master? Brother Luke brought it out so clearly a while ago when he said the thief on the cross had time to repent. But do you know you could be snatched out so fast that you don't even have time to say, Jesus, help me. Do you know people die of heart attacks every day so fast, so suddenly? They don't have time to say, Lord, help me. They're here and gone, here and gone. And if you're banking on the fact that, well, when I die, I'll have a few minutes to pray and get forgiveness, you don't have that guarantee. So I would advise, my suggestion is, let's give our life to Christ today while we're living. Enjoy the rest of the life that we have here on this earth, and then go to be with the Lord when we become absent in the body. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please, for just one moment. If you're in this house today and Jesus Christ is not your Lord, you have not asked Jesus into your heart, you are not born again. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way to the Father. You say, Pastor, I'm not interested in buying that life insurance policy. I'm not trying to sell you a life insurance policy. I'm trying to give you life today. I'm trying to give you the life that Jesus came to give you. I'm not saved to escape hell. I'm saved because I love my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this morning, if you're not a Christian today, if you've never received Jesus Christ, or maybe you did receive, but you just went your own way, lived your own lifestyle, and like the prodigal son, just went out and did your own thing, and maybe today you need to come home. Maybe today's the day that you need to say, Father, forgive me, for I have sinned against you. No more longer word to be called your son. Just make me a servant. And I can hear the Father say, oh no, Come on home, my child. You're still my son. Let me put the ring on your finger. Let me put shoes on your feet. Let's kill the fatted calf. Let's have a party because my son that was lost is coming home today. That's how Jesus feels about you returning. This morning, I want to see the hands of everybody in this building that would say, just raise your hand. By raising your hand, you're saying, Pastor Rhodes, I have not given my life to Jesus. Jesus is not my Lord. I'm looking for love in all the wrong places. Let me see your hand real quickly. You're in this building. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Anybody else? I'm not a Christian. I want to give my life to Jesus. I don't understand it all. I don't even understand everything you said today. But in my heart, there's a knocking on my heart's door, and I want to give my life to Jesus today. Come on, I know there's more in this building today. I know there's more, and I'm not going to beg anybody, but I will give you one more opportunity to raise your hand and say, Jesus, come into my life. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. I need you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Father, I pray for every person that's raised their hand in this building today. God, they have basically confessed with their hand that they do not know you. But you said in your word, if we'll confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, we will be saved. Thank you, Father, for the simplicity of salvation. And I want to pray for you. I want to pray for those of you this morning that raised your hand. Three or four people raised your hand. If you didn't raise your hand and you want to come on down, I want you to come down here. I'm going to ask Alex and Dara and Luke to come down here and just stand with us in the front this morning. And we want them to pray with you to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you raised your hand, would you be man or woman enough to come on down and let these men and women pray with you today? Would you do that? Come on. Anybody else? Come on. I know you raised your hand. You know who you are. I'll not embarrass you, but if you raise your hand, today's your day. Don't put it off. You don't have the promise. You don't have the promise of tomorrow. Anybody else? All right. All right. Dwayne, take us. Take us through the heavenly heavens. Okay, go. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys.
Oh, I see the Lord and his train fell. Temple, I see the Lord, he is high and lifted up. Oh, I see the Lord, and his train fell. Temple, I see the Lord.